Welcome back to this episode of the Beaver Dam. I'm your host, Trent Mass, joined along with Patrick Spillman. Pat, how are you doing today?
Trent, I'm doing great, but I'm also stressed out. I'm doing great in the fact that this is our last week of classes. I'm sad that this is our last week of Beaver Dam, but I'm also really, really, really tired of doing online classes. And so I am extremely happy that this is our last week, but stressed out in the fact that I have final exams, final papers, final presentations that I'm all trying to get done and just survive this week. How about you?
Yeah, I'm not doing too bad. Definitely stressed. I feel like the end of the year kind of snuck up on me just because it was definitely a lot different not being in school and in person classes throughout the course of the end of the school year. So I just feel like I'm not as prepared to be done with classes, but I'm glad classes will be over at the end of this week just because it is definitely a lot harder to do everything online, I think, than it is in person. But yeah, as you said, this is our last Beaver Dam of the semester, just because, I mean, there's no sports going on right now at Bluffton, so we don't have as much to talk about. I'm just glad we got to continue doing it as long as we have been.
Yeah, it has been really nice, and you know, that was one of the first things that Trent and I talked about the second that they told us that we were going home for a month until August 13th, but ended up being for the rest of the school year. So I'm really glad that Trent and I were still able to do this. It's definitely something I've enjoyed doing every week, and able for me to, you know, sit down and have a conversation with Trent, even though we're on the radio or just on a podcast for you guys to be able to listen to on blufftonwit.com. But I'm definitely ready to just be done with school. The weather's starting to become nicer, and I just want to be outside and not be stuck in my room or stuck in my basement doing homework all day instead of enjoying the nice weather. And I have a pool in my backyard. I want to be able to go swimming. It'd be nice if my friends could come over and come swimming with me, but we'll work on getting to that point once this whole social distancing thing is over with. But I decided that I wanted to do something a little different. Instead of talking about we do have some sports awards that we want to talk about, but I wanted to talk about our top three favorite moments from the year. Trent and I have no idea what each other thought of, and so Trent, go ahead from your third favorite moment down to your top moment of the year. What were your top three moments from Bluffton Sports this year?
So my third top favorite moment this year, I tried to stay away from the soccer team just because we're always involved, and I wanted to kind of highlight some of our other athletes and other sports with this one. So my third top favorite is junior Darian Greeley. He rushed for 220 yards in a win over Anderson this year. He's been one of my friends since freshman year. He lived right across from me. He lived right next to me this year. And he was just super excited after that game. I mean, we didn't get to watch it because we had our own game. They were home and we weren't. He just came up to me and he was all excited. So I thought, hey, that's pretty cool. 220 rushing yards in a game is really good. And to come out with a win after that, I thought it kind of deserved to be one of the better moments this year. And then for the second one, I had TJ Mills and Andrew Renner getting their 1,000 career points. TJ, and I believe Renner also got his at Defiance, but they were at Defiance, so I thought that was pretty cool, just because it's your rival school, your senior year, and you scored your 1,000 points on your rival. And then my favorite sport moment of this year would be Andrew Renner tying up the game with a 3-point buzzer beater, send a game into overtime, and then the Beavers coming up with the win. And that was a home game, so we were there, sitting there, commentating, and so that was definitely a big moment.
Yeah, those were definitely awesome moments. So my third favorite moment was I did not stay away from soccer because I thought this moment was pretty cool, but in a conference game against Mount St. Joseph, we as a team scored a game-tying goal with under 10 minutes to go to send the game to overtime. And then in overtime, Dalton Tanner scores the game-winning goal. The baseball team was sitting behind the goal that we scored on. Football team heard all the cheers. They stopped practice and came over, and they were celebrating. And it was pretty awesome just to see like the atmosphere, because you really don't see it that as often at soccer games. And so for us to come out with the win in a crazy overtime game that it was, and actually the ball ended up going off the Mount St. Joseph defender's butt and falling right to Dalton. And Dalton just was able to hit the ball in. And so it was pretty awesome. And just the crowd and the atmosphere in it was pretty awesome. So that was definitely my third top moment. My second favorite moment was Brandon James winning the All-Ohio Heptathlon. I mean, that is just an amazing accomplishment. And I think that, I mean, in order to be able to do that, you have to be skilled in so many different things. And so I think Brandon James doing that was definitely a top moment from Bluffton Sports, and hopefully he can, you know, retain his title the next 2 years. And then my top moment was also Andrew Renner's game tying buzzer beater against Hanover at home. Trent and I got to call it, and I'm sure that there's some embarrassing audio somewhere of me screaming my head off on the radio, just so excited about that moment, because I mean it was such an awesome shot. It was a deep three. It had been a close game going back and forth all game long, and then the Beavers coming out with the win. It was just definitely a top moment and a way for Andrew to be able to cap off his career in a way, in a huge win. And that was actually on alumni day for the men's basketball team, and so the stands were completely filled. All Bluffton basketball alumni were in the stands watching. His dad, a Bluffton basketball alum, had just played in the alumni game right before that. So it was really cool to be able to see that. And that was definitely, Trent and I both had the same top moment. I think that moment was pretty awesome in Bluffton sports.
Yeah, and there's so many more that we just couldn't cover with our top three. But it's definitely nice to look back and reflect on a year, even though we didn't have spring sports this year to have any other top moments. But one thing I didn't tell you before we started that I kind of wanted to go over, you kind of mentioned it already, but BlufftonBeavers.com has been sharing senior highlights of all the spring senior athletes who missed their season this year. So there's a bunch of those, all the baseball players, all the track and field athletes, as well as the softball players. They have those up for them. So if you want, just go check those out, give them a good read, and see who the seniors that didn't get to compete and some that are going to come back next year and compete for their senior year, their extra year of eligibility.
Yeah, definitely awesome that the sports information decided to do that for those seniors. They definitely deserved it, and I'm glad that they are getting that type of recognition, because though they have the option to come back for a fifth year, they might not all come back. D3 is a lot harder to come back than what it would be for D1. D3, you still have to pay for school. You have to be able to come back. Division 1, most of the time, you're still on a scholarship. And so I commend the sports information, and those, I've been reading all of them. I think they're great to be able to, hear from them. There's like direct quotes, there's facts about them. So definitely give it a read. Trent, you also had two other awards that two athletes received this past week. You want to go ahead and talk about that?
Andrew Renner won the A.C. Berkey Award, and that is an award for an outstanding senior male athlete. Renner was a four-year member of the men's basketball team, finished his career 15th on Bluffton's all-time scoring list with 1,232 points. He is just the 30th player in Bluffton history to score 1,000-plus points, and his career average is 14.5 points per game. Renner made an immediate impact on the team starting in his freshman year until his shoulder injury cut his first season short. He was named second team All-Heartland Collegiate Athletic Conference in his junior year and moved up to first team for his senior year. Renner was also named to the All-Tournament teams for two tip-off tournaments, as well as the McDonald's of Bluffton Holiday Tournament. His name appears on several top record lists at Bluffton, including 9th for 3-point field goals and 9th for steals. He served as team captain in his junior and senior season and was named the HCAC All-Academic Team, as well as the National Basketball Coaches Association Honors Court. Guy Neal said, Andrew is a perfect example of the total student athlete who makes the program and team better in a number of different ways. His teammates recognize and respect his commitment and work ethic. He is a good example for many of our players to follow on and off the court. And Alexis Cash receives the 2020 Catherine E. Little Award as Outstanding Senior Female Athlete of the Year. Cash is a four-year member of both the cross-country and track and field teams. She's a two-time Heartland Conference Women's Cross-Country Champion and an HCAC Women's Track and Field in both the 3,000 and 5,000-meter run. She holds the school record for the 6-kilometer run and sits fourth all-time in the 5-kilometer run. During the 2018 cross-country season, Cash became the first female cross-country athlete in school history to earn all-region honors by placing in the top 35 in the NAIA D1 Great Lakes Regional Championship. For her efforts, she was named to the Academic All-American team. On the track, Cash holds the school records in both the indoor and outdoor 3,000-meter run and 5,000-meter run. She helped lead the Beavers to a runner-up finish at the 2018 HCAC Cross Country Championship and 2018 HCAC Outdoor Track and Field Championship. In every semester she was eligible, Cash was named to the HCAC All-Academic Team. Coach Logan Wells said Alexis will graduate as the most decorated distance athlete in Bluffton history. She's a true leader on and off the field and actively serves the Bluffton community through leadership in campus spiritual life, student organizations, and volunteerism. She is truly deserving of this award.
Yeah, pretty awesome to both of those seniors. They are so decorated and just everything that they've done throughout their careers. Andrew Renner, you know, Trent and I've got to call basketball games. Trent, for you, the last really 2.5 years, and for me, about a year and a half. And so it was pretty awesome to be able to listen to all of that and just being able to have those seniors recognized for how amazing they are. You know, Alexis Cash, like they said, holds all these school records. She won the cross country championship last year. So just decorated in so many ways. And so I congratulate them both. And I know for Alexis, not getting to run in her outdoor senior season had to be hard, but she definitely had a heck of a career, and I really would have liked to see what she could have done there in her senior track season. You know, hopefully coming out with a bang and maybe, you know, making her school records even harder to be able to break if she had the opportunity. But overall, just amazing careers, and I commend both of them on amazing careers. And Bluffton University sports are definitely going to miss both those athletes for sure. But we are going to go ahead and talk a little bit about outside sports. So the NFL draft was just completed. It was a 3-day event between Thursday through Saturday. Everything was virtual, online. Everyone was separated. Even the coaches and general managers weren't together. And it was definitely interesting, but it didn't really have any type of hiccups. Everything ran pretty smoothly, and everyone was able to get their picks in. And one weird thing is that, you know, all of these athletes that have been drafted, normally they're traveling to the cities that they or to the teams that they've been drafted to be announced in press conferences, get to see the training facility, meet the coaches, meet the general manager, meet their teammates, and they don't get to really do any of that right now. Everyone's, you know, stuck at home, and so it's definitely a different draft, and especially for this draft class. Trent, could you imagine, you know, getting drafted to play in a professional sport, and you've dreamed about this your entire life, and now you can't even go see the facility you're going to be at because you're stuck at home?
Yeah, no, that would definitely be a little weird. And one thing that I thought was really cool with this draft was just the fact that it was all virtual, so they weren't able to, like, you know how they usually get called up to the stage, they hold a jersey or whatever if they're invited to actually be there, and some players are at home with their families, but this was it was interesting to me. I saw a bunch of videos of players getting calls from organizations telling them they were getting picked. I also liked, I don't know if you watched any of the what the teams, like the general managers and the coaches and in their at home war rooms, what was going on there. But I enjoyed that aspect of it just because it was a lot different, but it was still fun and entertaining to watch.
Yeah, I actually watched all 3 days of the draft. Like I said, I'm just longing for some type of sports. And yeah, so what they did is they had all of these video cameras at all of the athletes' houses, so that way they could see these guys in their living rooms. And so also they had it in the general managers' houses and also the coaches' houses. And so you could see them, you know, the coaches calling the athletes, and you could see the athletes receiving that call, their family's reaction. And so that was really cool. You still got that aspect. Of course, they didn't get a chance to be able to hug Roger Goodell, get that jersey, you know, up on the actual stage, but I know Roger Goodell did call a lot of the athletes that got drafted. It might have been a little bit later, but especially the first round, and I believe part of this, I think all the second round, he called all the athletes, which was pretty cool to me that he still made the effort to, you know, congratulate them and welcome them into the league, since they didn't get that chance to, you know, give Roger Goodell that big old bear hug that he normally gets. And also, I thought something that was really cool is they had fans that were, like, you know, virtually, that were all behind Roger Goodell from each team. And so when the Cleveland Browns were on the clock, there was Cleveland Browns fans in the back cheering, like excited to be able to hear the next pick. And so that was really cool. And just being able to see all the different coaches' houses, you know, all the players' different houses, it was really cool. And all I got to say is Cliff Kingsbury has the nicest house out of all the coaches. You should see his house. If you get a chance, look up Cliff Kingsbury's house. It was... Oh my gosh, I was very jealous. All around, just an amazing house. And I definitely strive to have, you know, that much money to be able to buy a house that is like that. But the last thing from outside sports we're going to talk about is, as you guys know, Italy's been hit pretty hard by this coronavirus. Italy has, I believe, the second most cases behind the United States. The United States is a lot bigger than Italy, but Italy today decided that they are going to be canceling all sports until at least September. And so, you know, that kind of worries me a little bit for that here in the United States. We could not be seeing sports until then if we decided to follow suit with what Italy's doing. But they ended up canceling all sports until September. Trent, do you think that's something the United States might do, or are we hoping to see sports here soon?
I know, I don't remember how long ago it was, but I know President Trump had said he wants the NFL to start on time. He wants sports to be back up full go by August. I remember hearing about that. So hopefully we don't follow in their footsteps and we can continue to have sports going as soon as possible. And I feel like at this point it's gonna be a while before there's a vaccine or there's anything. So at this point I'm kind of just waiting to see how we continue to move on, and it's almost like we just need to let it run its course and do its thing, and eventually we're gonna have to go back to the way that things were. But it definitely was cool to see, like you said, the virtual draft. And hopefully we don't have to cancel sports any more than we already have.
Yeah, I think we're going to probably see something where they're going to play the sporting events, but there's probably not going to be any fans in the stands for a while, just because I don't think they're going to want to put all these fans at risk, and they don't want to put the athletes at risk either. So I have a feeling they're probably going to do it to where they have the sports, and really the only people that are going to be allowed in there is, you know, personnel from the teams, and then probably like either whatever like TV like station is covering that game, having cameras and people running the cameras in there. Other than that, I don't think we're really going to see fans in the stands for a little bit, which it's going to be different. But at this point, that we have to get back to some type of reality, like Trent said, and I think the smartest way is to ease back into things. Slowly start to reopen everything and slowly start playing games. And if that means no fans, that means no fans. And then as time goes on, hopefully scientists are able to find a vaccine. Like they said, they're saying it could be anywhere from 12 to 18 months from now. So at this point, we have to ease ourselves back into it. So if that means no fans, it means no fans, and then slowly work our way back up to having fans in the stands and getting back to what we call normal, I guess. But it's definitely tough, and commissioners have to make tough decisions on what exactly they want to do, because they have to protect the athletes, they have to protect all the coaches, all the teams, and also the fans.
And a lot of big schools, a lot of their money intake is from sporting events and hosting, and that's how a lot of campuses are run. So it could be detrimental, not just for little schools, but also big schools, if they aren't able to hold their sporting events. And like you said, just easing back in, even if that means no fans, then no fans show up, but at least people are able to compete and go out and do what they love to do. Yeah, so this is actually going to be my last Beaver Dam as the host. I won't be working for the WIT, but I will be next year. I will be there to help if Pat needs anybody to come in and help record the Beaver Dam with him or call a game or whatever. I'm still going to be available, but I think I've been doing this for since my freshman year, since second semester freshman year. So I think it's a good point to not move on, but open up the door and let Pat kind of take the reins for it and bring somebody else in and kind of teach them how I was taught. So this is my last official being the host of the Beaver Dam, and I know Pat's gonna do a good job. I've kind of let him come up with ideas, and he brought a lot to the table this year with ideas and what we are gonna do on the show. So I thank him for that, and I know it's going to continue to be great next year with Pat being the head of the Beaver Dam.
Yeah, he's definitely going to be missed, but I'm still going to try and provide that content and try and find that co-host that's going to go ahead and have the same type of energy that Trent and I always have every single week. So, Trent, you will be missed. You know I'm always going to bring you in as a special guest sometimes. Don't be thinking this is the last time you're going to hear from Trent Mast on the radio, on the WIT Marsum. But he will be missed, but I'm not going anywhere. I'll still be here providing you that sports content. I'm sure you'll be tired of hearing my voice, but I don't care. I'm going to keep going. So, Trent, go ahead, wrap it up one last time for us here on the Beaver Dam. Season 3 comes to an end. Season 4 starting next year with your brand new host, Patrick Spellman, joined alongside To Be Determined. Trent, wrap it up.
That wraps up this episode of the Beaver Dam. We thank you for listening and encourage you to go back, listen to some you missed, and join Pat and whoever he is with next season. Thank you for listening. For more stories and information, check out bluffandwit.com and subscribe. This has been Trent Mash, joined along with Patrick Spellman. Thank you for listening to the Beaver Dam on 96.1 The WIT.
Roll Beaver.